okay? Why did you get out of bed, get dressed, throw your kids in the car, drive across town, come in and sit down with a bunch of really strange people? Why? Why? All right? Listen, guys, sometimes we do this out of habit, right? We just come out of habit, and then we're running around, and we kind of forget why we're here. Like, why am I here? Why am I here? I don't know. Now, the other day, I don't know if y'all knew, I wasn't here last week. Hopefully you noticed that. Wasn't here last week. I was in Kansas City, and I got to see my daughter Cassie and her husband Cameron, but really I didn't come to see them. I got to see my grandson, baby Cash, who turned one, and he says, pop, 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 and cuck, cuck, cuck. And I was like, how about ma, ma, ma? So, and also he's my little alarm because I share a bedroom with him. And he sits up with these eyes going, pop, 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 pop. And I'm like, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. Okay, so, but I got back late on Tuesday night and I kind of, you know, hit the floor running. And I got up early that next Wednesday morning. I had my coffee, spent time with the Lord, had breakfast, packed my lunch, showered, loaded up my car. Remember to put the garage door open before you back out. There have been some interesting things in my garage, okay? And I'm backing out. I put it in park. I back out. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I forgot something. Put it, keep it in park. There's been interesting things if you don't put it in park. Put it in park, and I run into the kitchen, and I just kind of stop and stare at the microwave. And Jesse, my son, was up, and he said, hey, Mom, how you doing? What's going on? I go, he goes, you know, the microwave's not telling you anything. I said, I know, I know. He says, what's going on? I said, I forgot what I forgot. I forgot what I forgot. I forgot what I forgot. And he started laughing at me. And I'm like, okay, 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 okay. And then I do this famous, I do that a lot. I'll just walk in a circle. Somehow it's supposed to help me remember. And I forgot what I forgot. And he's laughing at me. I'm laughing. And I just finally go in the car. I get to work the whole day. So it probably wasn't too important. Probably not. But you know what I thought about? How often do y'all, we all, me all, come to church and we forget why we're here? Why do we gather? You know, maybe you're like, this used to happen occasionally. We get ready for church, feed four kids, throw them in the car, praise the Lord, have an argument on the way to church. Yep, have an argument. And then we'd walk in with our happy faces. Okay, and maybe back then we didn't have coffee, but I would have had coffee, and, you know, worship has already started, and you run in, and you find a seat, find a seat, find a seat, and then you do your worship, and then you sit down, you take a deep breath, and you go, why am I doing this? What was the reason for all of this? Okay, anybody really honest to say that? You've had that some days, like, whoa, why am I doing this? Why am I here? And sometimes you forgot what you forgot, and why I'm here. So why do we gather? All right, and really, that was me last week. Last week, you know, till I hit the floor running, and I will say, did anybody have a crazy week? Man, it was, and I only had a half week working because I was playing out in Kansas City, but I hit the floor running, and it was just kind of crazy. And then this morning, I got here about 8:30, 8:35, and I'm turning on lights and doing this, and I talk to the guys in the sound booth, and I'm checking this. And then I come upstairs, and I go into the, we have prayer at 10 a.m. in the bookstore. Now, we may close the door, but it's really open door. It's an open door policy. We close the door. You come in and pray with us. We pray about the service. We pray for our musicians. We pray for, you know, kids and all that stuff. So we're praying, and I walk out, and then I have encounters of the third kind. Encounters. And these are all the people, and I love you, I love you, I love you, and I need to know, I need to know. But all the people that tell me all the problems that I have to fix in 36 seconds before game day starts. And I take a breath because, you know, praise God, Pastor D, you're going to get it together and preach an anointed message full of the Holy Ghost and power. And, you know, sometimes I'm thinking, how many times do we run to church and we go, why do we gather? Why did I come? Why am I here? Anybody ever, you be honest, anybody ever ask that question? I won't look, I won't look. Okay, go ahead, raise your hand. So today, this is the question we're going to answer. Why am I here? Why do we gather? Really, why do we gather? So I started surveying people this past week. And I'd ask them, hey, you know, why do you gather to go to church? Why do you... And I was asking people that don't go here. I think I only asked one person that went here. And we came up with five reasons, okay? Five reasons. You can write them down. The top one that was most often said, why people gather, come to a church, a community. The top one, you ready? To hear a message. So write that down, to hear a message. And I'm like, yes, amen, that's right. I will guarantee you will hear a message and you will hear the word of God and it'll help you so you can see and follow after God. The message I believe in that will bring light and encouragement to you and it'll inspire you and encourage you and give you revelation. I am believing all that stuff when we hear a message. Somebody say amen. Make Pastor D feel good. Amen. Okay, but, you know, here's my question. I'm sitting here thinking, if that's the reason you gather to hear a message, okay, put your seatbelts on. Isn't that a little outdated? Okay, all right, because, I'm sitting here thinking, if that's the primary reason that you come to gather is to hear a message, come on, we live in technology 21st century, right? Okay, and you could actually stay home, right? You can actually stay home. Matter of fact, I had this brilliant idea. Bill Glassmeyer, I'm going to sell the building. Sell the building. I'm going to rent a TV studio, and you can film me. And you can email your messages, or you can go online, and we can save a whole ton of money. I'm just saying, because if that's the reason that we gather, I'm just saying. I really think there's probably a more efficient and more economic way of gathering. I really do. Don't look at me that way, okay? praise God. The next reason that I heard a lot, where's my worship teams? These are the ones that said it. Why do we gather? So we can worship and sing. Write that down. Why do we gather? Those are probably the second, that's the second thing people say. And I'm like, absolutely yes, that is a huge part of our service, right? We sing, we worship the Lord, and when we worship, we get, you know what happens when I worship? I get the focus off of the crazy of my day, and I get my focus back on the Lord. And, all my anxieties, fears, and worries, yes, I occasionally have them, I just let them go because I go into this worship time. I'm just singing unto my Savior. And it also reminds me, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's brought me into His family. I love all of a sudden, especially some of these songs, these words just like, woohoo, lifts me up. I love it, okay? But I have to think, guys, that there's probably a more effective, efficient, and economical way of doing that than just coming here to gather to worship. All right? And let me say this. How about, worship team, how about we have, for a whole month, we get together and we write songs and we rehearse and we rehearse and we rehearse. We rehearse, okay? And then we rent out a big, huge auditorium, the fairgrounds or the stadium, and we invite all sorts of people so we can collectively worship once a month. This incredible, make your hair stand on end, okay? Now, so I was thinking, because if the primary reason that we come to gather is to worship, I'm telling you, I think we can do it just maybe a little more efficient, a little more economical. I'm just saying, okay? Don't fire me yet. Third reason, write this down. This is my third reason as I started surveying people that they said why they worship. Okay, crack me up. My kids need it. I'm okay, but my kids need it. You laugh. I've had a lot of people say that. Okay. I don't need to be in church, but I know my kids need to be in church because you need to teach them about God. That's why they come to church. Okay. So I'm sitting here thinking, if that's the reason that we gather, and today, like on a Sunday, if that's the reason why we gather, I want to tell you, there's a more economical way, because do you know what kids do to the walls downstairs? Do you know what Cheerios and diapers and all the things that we stand and curriculums cost? I'm telling you, I think we can do it a little better than with our kids than just coming here. All right? But listen, this is a huge part of our vision, is to gather, to train kids, to impart the word of God. We believe that when we pour into kids, the next generation and the next generation will be overcomers, and they'll go through the storms of life and come through smelling good. We believe that they'll be also leading other people to the Lord, other kids to the Lord. So we have a vision here, but I really just was sort of thinking when I looked at the walls downstairs that we could probably do this more efficient, more economical, and a little more effective. Okay, I'm just saying. All right, fourth reason people give me. All right, this one I was like, oh, okay, ready? We gather every week to make God happy. Woohoo, woohoo, woohoo. People wrote that, and I thought, wow, if that's the reason that you gather is to make God happy, awesome. Because you know what it tells me? At least you are focused and conscious of the Lord. God, I want to make you happy. So that's good. So I don't have a problem with that. But really, so we think we come here to make God happy. But sometimes I think we gather to make other people happy. Okay, such as you weren't planning on coming. You had no intentions of coming here. And then your wife says, honey, it's Mother's Day. Don't you want to come to church with me? Or your mother calls you up. It's Mother's Day. Don't you want to come to church with me? You're just like, I had no intentions. But if I go to church and make her happy, then I can sit in front and watch the TV and watch the baseball games or whatever they're on all afternoon, and she won't bug me. Right? So, you know, so really, it is good to do things for others to make them happy, right? Amen. You should. That's part of our love walk. But if your wife or your mom really cares about you, if Jesus really cares about you, aren't there more efficient, effective, and economical ways than just gathering together to make God happy? Just saying. I think there might be. Okay, last one. Ready? Number five. There were tons of people that wrote this down. Get ready. I come to church because Pastor D is so cool. And I was like, yes, you can do that. Amen. I just am so cool. What would they say? Hip now? Whatever. Okay. Now, but really, 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 I think there's a better way of doing that. I'll tell you what. I'll get Brenton. Brenton, take my picture. We're going to slap it on a postcard, and I can autograph it for you all, and you can put it on the refrigerator, and you can look at me every day, because I think that's more efficient than y'all gathering together. Okay. Amen. So, question, why are you here? Why do you gather? Because now, think like a skeptic, someone who has no church background, and they are looking at church. They are looking at church, and they probably would say, really? Come? Get out of my pajamas? Out of my comforts? Really, there's more effective, efficient, and economical ways to do that, okay? And I will tell you, in this day, in this age that we live in, it has become less necessary to gather, according to people thinking. It has become less necessary to gather. Because look at some seats. They're empty. Right? People think it's less necessary to gather. All right? So, the mindset, and you know, because we could do it more efficient, more effective, and more in economical ways to gather, and it's less necessary to gather. And yet, the book of Hebrews says something exactly opposite. So open up to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, the author, I always love to give you a little background. The author, the person that wrote, it's actually called letters, but we call it the book of Hebrews, okay? The person who wrote the book of Hebrews, they're not really sure who wrote it. Yeah. So something Paul, Apollos, Barnabas, And then there was some theologian that says, simply, only God knows. Okay? So we don't know who wrote this, but there's a lot of great things. And we're going to talk about Hebrews 10, chapter 24 and chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. So they're going to pop it on the screen, and here we go. Hebrews 10, verse 25. I'm reading out the NIV, okay, just because there's about two words in there that just really jumped out. So that's why I picked that. So it says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So you know how I read that? It says, don't stop gathering. All right? And he says, you're to keep, as the promise of Jesus' return is going to happen. Jesus promised he's going to return. He has promised. So as that promise is going to happen someday, and as more time and more time is going on, and it seems like it's less necessary to get together, and it seems like you can just stay home in the comforts of your home and your pajamas, and you can have coffee when it seems like that. You know what the author said? He says, don't meet less, meet more. Don't meet less together, meet more together. Don't meet less, meet more. Don't stop. Don't stay away. This scripture says you need to gather together. Amen? Okay, I'm not pulling a rabbit out of the hat here today. Now, so why did he write that? Why do you think he wrote that? Well, let me just say, because I think there's a whole lot of value, and we're going to talk about that. There's value in gathering. There's value when you come into a gathering. There is value. And it matters to God, and it's really important to us. So you can take notes and say, gather matters. Gather matters. So he's saying, hey, don't skip. Don't stay away. Don't isolate yourself. You need to gather. All right? Now, the five things that I gave you, my five reasons, my survey. You know what's really interesting? As you dig into the Word of God here, there's only a small amount on specifics of these. They're implied, but there's not tons written about this, okay? So it's implied when you read the Word, especially your New Testament side, it's implied that when you gather, you're going to hear a message. But there's no specifics on how long you're supposed to talk. There's no specifics, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. And listen, we know the Apostle Paul spoke real long. Because one time, he's in this building, and this guy, second floor, this building preaching, and a young guy sitting on the windowsill, and he must have preached and preached and preached and preached and preached and preached, and the kid fell asleep, fell out the window, and died. Yeah! Read that. Book of Acts. But they raised him from the dead, Jody. Okay, so we around here just tried to shorten it just a little bit for you. Aren't you glad? Amen. And don't open the windows. Okay. All righty. So if you read this, it's implied that we have a message, but there's no details on how long and how often you're supposed to have a message. There really is not. And the second one was worship. Well, you know, there's a few things y'all know, especially in Old Testament, that talk about worship. But there's nowhere in here that gives you who gets to pick the songs. Hey, that would save a lot. Okay? Or what style? Don't some of you wish they wrote that? What style of worship? Okay? So there's not a whole lot written about that. And you know, as I read in here, the Word of God, there's not a lot on how you teach your kids at church. Matter of fact, there's not a lot about that in there. And there's not a lot about how you make God happy when you come to church. And there's nothing about me being so cool. Like, what? Okay. So, and yet, in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, God says, you are together. He says that, and he says you're not to skip, not to stay away. He's really pointed about you need to come to church, to gather, because there's something that matters to God when we gather, and that's what we're going to look at, all right? So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, God, I get it. We're supposed to gather. We are supposed to gather, and it matters to you. Well, I'm like, why? So this is me. I was like, why did God say that? Because you know what? God knows us better than we know ourselves, right? You think your spouse knows you? You give that look, and they're like, oh, I'm in trouble. Okay, God knows you better than you know yourself. And I think he knew from the first church, the church that started in the book of Acts, till right now, he knew that people wouldn't gather. They would just kind of isolate themselves, and they wouldn't come together. I think he knew that, right? And he knew that, so that's why he wrote this down. And there's lots of reasons why people don't come to gather. There's lots of reasons. I don't like the worship. I don't like the people. I'm a failure. You don't know what I did. I can't come. I'm depressed. I don't like the pastor. Did I say that one? Okay. There's a lot of reasons why people don't gather. And you know, when you don't gather, okay, this is the pack, and when you decide not to gather, you isolate yourself. That's what happens, okay? And a lot of people isolate themselves, and that's not good. But it's really interesting looking at the times, okay? And how many of you watch those home decorating shows? HGTV, Flip and Flop, Property Brothers. You know, I'm a little obsessed on this stuff here. Okay, so you watch them, and it's very interesting, the architects in the architecture this day and age. And they actually promote being isolated, because you know what they build? The man cave. I won't mess with your man cave. The ladies' spa area, the kids' playroom. Those are all isolated areas, right? And not in my house, but everybody's got a screen in their room, right? Everybody's got a screen, yep, in their room. Okay, so you can actually come home from work. Hi, honey. Drop your bags and go to your own room. Everybody, go to their own room. Go to your own room, and you don't talk to anybody. Guess what that's called? Isolation, yep. Okay, and yet, God's saying it is so important. It is so important that we gather together, all right? Because gathering matters to God. So those five reasons that I gave you, all right, they may not be a lot specifically, and they're implied, but there is a lot written about the early church, and it starts in the book of Acts. So if you want to know why we gather, you're going to look at that. You're going to see it in action, okay? And as you read the book of Acts, it boils down to two words, just two words. So turn over to John chapter 13, John chapter 13. So in the book of Acts, the early church, the gathering of the church, it has to do with two words. The whole thing boils down to the reasons why we gather. All right? Here we go. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give you, love one another. John 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Do you see those two words? Two small words over and over and over again. What is it? One another. One another. One another. Okay? So the reasons, I'm going to tell you, write this down. The reason why we gather is one another. Okay, it's for one another, one another. Another time, and you just see it over and over and over. And I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures later on, but the two words that boils down to why the early church met and why we met is it's about one another. It's not about you. It's about one another. It's not about me. It's about one another. Okay, one another. Another place in the Bible, Jesus is walking along with his disciples, and he's in Caesarea Philippi, okay, which happens to be just north of Jerusalem. if you need Bible trivia for the game. Okay, he's walking with his guys, and he's in this Caesarea Philippi, and it's just hanging out with his boys. And he goes, "Hey, guys, who do people say I am?" Everybody remember that story? Who do people say I am? So they're like, Jesus, you know. They say this, they say that. They say that you're like this incarnate prophet kind of guy. And they're just having this discussion. Then Jesus does this. What's he say next? Who do you say I am? And I could just see this, you know. Peter turns around. Oh yeah, I believe you're the Christ. You're the Son of God. Right? Peter just says that. And Jesus whips around. He says, Peter, you got it. Peter, you got it. Peter, you got it. And then he says, and on that, I'm going to build my church. And that is the first time you see C-H-U-R-C-H. That's the first time that Jesus mentions the word church. Okay? So on that, you're going to build my church. Okay, I'm going to impress you with my Greek. Ready? The word for church is E-K-K, because you know you want to just tell your husband, I know Greek. E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. Ekklesia. I practice that. Okay, I got this app that you can press the little microphone and it even pronounces it for you. So wonderful. So Jesus uses this word ekklesia for the first time for the word church. He's going to tell them about church, okay? And the word church means gathering, assembling. And I'm going to stick with the word gathering. The word church means gathering. Isn't that interesting? So it's not about a building, right? He didn't say the word church is a building. He didn't say it's a place. He says it's a gathering. So Jesus is going to start a movement, a gathering, a group, a church. A group, all right? And he says, the everybody's going to know you're one of my disciples, one of my gatherings, one of my groupies, right? Because you love, two little words, one another. Because you love one another. One another, one another, one another. And he says, hey, listen, they're not going to know you're one of my guys, one of my disciples, because you go to such and such church that has a steeple, that has pipe organs, or has smoking lights and all that stuff. He says, you're not going to know that you're one of mine. He says, they're going to know you're mine, that you're my disciples. It's because how you love or worship with people, one another. It's how you do one another. They're going to know your mind on how you do the one another stuff. So we're going to talk a lot about one another. I had a pre-conversation with Pam, man. We were just like, oh, get this going. This is good. So, okay, so he says that he's going to start a movement, a group, a gathering. And they're going to know you're his because you one another, all right? And then Jesus just takes the fire and just knocks it up real high. One more step, and he says, listen to this. When you come to the temple and sacrifice, this is found in Matthew, I'm not going to read it, just write down, Matthew 5, 23 through 25, that's where it's found. But Jesus says, hey, when you come, gather, when you gather in the temple to sacrifice. Now, he's talking an Old Testament model, okay? We don't go dragging in your little sheep and kill them. Leslie wouldn't let you. They have sheep, okay? But back then, you would sacrifice an animal to cover your sins, and then you'd worship God, all right, to atone for your sins. So he's just talking their lingo because they would get it. We're going, huh? But, okay, so he says, listen to this. When you bring your sacrifice to worship, as you're about to sacrifice and worship, and you remember, the light goes off, that you have something between you and another person, that you have some friction between somebody, wife, friend. When you remember that you kind of got a hard heart, that you had an argument and a disagreement, and it's still just, okay. It says, when you remember that you have that between somebody, what does he say to do? Put down your sacrifice and go get it right. Okay? And you know what he's saying? Relationship. It's not about the ritual of worship. It's about, he's going, guys, it's about relationship. It is about relationship. Okay, so I'm going to tell you some of my dirty laundry. Let me tell you, it was a piece of cake getting four kids to church early. We never came on time. We had to be here early. Great joys. Okay, so yeah, feed the kids, dress the kids. By the way, Sunday morning, you can give them a piece of toast. Don't go making pancakes and eggs. Are you kidding me? Oh, God. So box of cereal, that was it. And throw kids in the car. And you lay out the clothes the night before. And the shoes, because they go walking. Where are those shoes? They were laying there when I went and put that kid. Okay. So we get the kids in the car, and we come down Market Street, and we have an argument. Just one in a million years. Yeah, right. We're arguing. And you know what Jack would do every time? Pull over on the side of the road and go, we're going to get this right before we go to church. So if you thought we were just looking at the dandelions on the side of the road, no, we were not. And I would start expressing myself, and I'm going, we're going to be late. We can't be late. What are people going to think? Oh, my gosh, hurry up. And he'd go, we're not moving till we get this right. That man knew relationship. I eventually got there. Eventually. Okay. Guys, when we gather, it's about relational. Okay? It's about one another. Look at somebody and say, one another. All right? Now, and that phrase, I'm just going to rattle these off really fast. If you want them, you can ask Adam in the sound booth where they are. But you go digging in your, especially your New Testament, you will see one another. You'll see that all over. Here we go. Ephesians 4:23, it says to forgive. Romans 5:17, accept one another. Galatians 6:2, care for one another. Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another. That really means to adapt, for all you Pete girls that don't like that word. Colossians 3:13, bear with one another. You know what that means? That means when you gather, somebody's going to think different than you. All right? They're going to think different than you, and it's telling us you need to bear with one another. Okay? Galatians 6:2, carry one another's burdens. John 13:34, love one another. And I'm telling you, the list goes on and on and on about one another. So there's not a lot written about, you know, our five little reasons that you should gather together. There's not big details, but there is a ton of stuff about relationships in the Word of God. On why we gather. It's about it. Okay, so write this down. I stole it. I'm not even going to tell you who I stole it from because I can't remember, okay? The primary activity of the early church, like the numero uno things that were going on, the hubba-hubba that was going on in the early church was one-another-ing, and I'm not mispronouncing something, making up a word, one-another-ing one-another. The main thing that was going on in the early church when they gather was one anothering one another. The person next to you is a one another. You're a one another. And they were one anothering one anothering. Okay. Okay. Example. They held all things in common, one anothering. They went house to house breaking bread together. Together, one another. That's the early church. That's the church, guys, all right? And you can't say the word church without saying gathering. And the reason why we gather, write you down. Why do we gather, Pastor D? One another. one another. It's about one another. Okay? And listen, God knew that we would misunderstand that and think we're coming for this reason and that reason. He also knew that people would just stop gathering. Yep. So that's why Hebrews 10, praise the Lord, on whoever was whoever the author was that inspired it, all right? Let's look back down at Hebrews 10. Let me get over there. Here we go. Hebrews 10. I'm going to read 24 and 25 this time. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Okay? Let me stop there. See the word consider? Let us consider how we can spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. Okay, see that word, consider? Now, that does not mean, oh, I am so considerate, I'll hold the door open for you ladies. That does not mean, I am so considerate, I will put the potty seat down for you ladies. Yeah, we've had many a war at my house, okay? All right. It doesn't mean that. That's not what it's talking about. Okay, this is the definition of consider. Ready? To be intentional. To be intentional. To be intentional. To be strategic on how you think about one another. You got to write that down. That's on the refrigerator for the whole month. Okay? Being intentional, strategic on how you think about one another. So when he says you ought to consider one another, all right? 2 weeks ago, Sherry and I were in Lancaster for a ladies' ministers conference. And I was sitting at a table and I met a lady. Her name is Donna. And her husband passed away 8 months ago. The pastor, the senior pastor, her husband passed away. So we kind of had something in common, didn't we? Yep. And she was the administrator pastor prior to that. You know what it meant? She was never back here. Same thing as me. I was never back here. Okay. So I had a lot of encouragement here. So in light of her past, that her husband passed away, in light of her future, man, it's just totally blown up and totally different than that she planned. I started considering intentionally, strategically, thinking about Donna. First thing I did is got her phone number, and I've been praying for her, and I've been calling her. And so when you are intentional and strategic about thinking of one another, it's like, well, how can I help them? How can I pray for them? What can I do? That's an example of being intentional, strategic in considering one another. Amen? All right? Okay, and I'm telling you, it's that level of considering one another that we are supposed to gather. We're supposed to, when we gather, that's the level we're supposed to be at, okay? Michelle Knobb, I've known Michelle, how old is Stuart? 27. I've known her, because he was just a little, so I've known her decades, okay? Decades. I know her son. I've met her mom on several occasions, but we probably talk about her mom, and I always ask, how's mom doing? I know about her brother. I know she's got cats. I don't ask her a lot about that, okay? I ask her a lot about her job, okay? And so when you are considering one another, as this word says, when I see Michelle, I'm thinking, you know, how's Michelle doing? What can I do? How can I consider her? And Michelle's a piece of cake to consider, by the way. Just give her a hug and talk to her for a few minutes, okay? She's not too complicated. Occasionally we come in and we cry together and, you know, like that. But so when you gather together, when I see Michelle, I am thinking intentionally, strategically, thoughts on how I can one another. Got it? All right. Now, praise the Lord. So God says when we gather, we are to one another. God says when we gather, we're to one another. But there's a big problem. There's a problem about this. You want to guess what it is? It's the way you're sitting. No, don't crush your legs. I'm not talking about that. Okay? Okay? You can't one another sitting like this. You can't, right? You can't do that. And that's why we believe in grow groups and teams. I will annoy you. Because I always say, well, who are you doing it with? Who are you doing it with around here? Okay? And praise the Lord. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. So we have to intentionally consider one another. We have to intentionally consider one another. And that's why we have grow groups and teams around here. So here's my question. If our gathering, our church, and we're gathering together, do you know anybody? Do you know anyone well enough to consider them? Write that down. Do you know anyone well enough to consider them? Now, this doesn't count. Families don't count. Okay, I don't count. Well, Pastor Dee knows me. I consider it. Nope, can't write me down. You can't do your families. So when you look and you gather together, do you know anyone well enough to consider, to intentionally and strategically think about? Sure is quiet here in Southern New York. Here we go. Do you know? Okay, second question. Does anybody know you well enough to consider you? And if you're sitting alone, okay, does anyone know you well enough to stop and think about you and maybe get in your life? Okay, gathering one another, all right. So does anybody know you well enough to know you that you're going through life right now and it is just stinking hard? There's just this happened and this happened. Does anybody know you to intentionally stop and one another you? Don't answer the question, all right? Okay. So it has been amazing since we really turned the fire up on grow groups, okay? And I'm pounding you on teams. Who's on your team? I'm telling you, it's just been great because I'm watching these grow groups intentionally strategic one another. And I could tell you a story. I'll tell a couple stories, story after story, where because they're in this group, and it's not a click group. Oh, it's our group. Even though I called my guys the groupies. There's my groupies. Wave, you're my groupies. Okay, I had groupies. I love them. Okay, but you have to be strategic and get to know one another. And that's what happens in our grow groups. One of my grow group leaders shared this with me. This is probably about a year ago. He said, Pastor D, I got a phone call. This is a grow group leader. They host it in their house, and they also lead it with two others. So he said, I got a phone call, and it was one of the groupies, one of the gang in their group, called him up and said, listen, I'm hopping in the ambulance with my wife. She passed out. The ambulance is here. We're going to the hospital. You know what my grow group leader did? Hopped in the car, went to the hospital. They actually beat me there because I didn't get the message till later, all right? Walked in, prayed for them, okay? And then, you know what they did? When everything was okay and they actually admitted the lady, and it wasn't, you know, life and death, but they admitted her. You know what the grow group leader did? Did the group text to the group. And they organized in minutes meals for the week, someone to pick up this kid and take that kid away. They kind of one another, don't they? Listen, I couldn't do that. It's not that I don't want to do that. I couldn't do that in that amount of time trying to figure out who to call. Okay? Okay, but I'll tell you guys, that happens because if somebody knows you, and they are thinking about you, it's like, wow. Isn't it? Isn't that wow? It's just great. Okay. And that's because they consider one another, all righty? Now, some of you are thinking, oh, Pastor D, I just don't want to be in a grow group. Are you kidding me? It's only about getting to know one another, Pastor D. Besides, you know, I'm pretty busy and my life's full. Okay, I hear that a lot. No. It's deeper. It's deeper and more powerful because it's about one another. That's deep, guys. That's probably the deepest thing I'm going to say today. Gathering is about one anothering one another. And that's why we do grow groups. That's why we pound on teams and do things together, okay? So that is the very reason why we gather, to one anothering one another, okay? And can I tell you something? You can't one another yourself. You're not smart enough, okay? You can't one another your bro when you're sitting in a row. Think on that one. You can't, all right? So we need. Who's it? Andy Stanley wrote, rows are good, but circles are better. Okay. So doing this, you can't one another unless you start getting in groups. Praise the Lord. Gather together. All right. Let me read Hebrews 10, 24 again. I'm going to pull out a new word. Here we go. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good works. Okay, let me stop there. See that word spur? Anybody know what a spur is? Anybody horse people? What do they do with spurs? What do they do with a spur? Dig it into that horse, right? That's sort of like, so spur means to agitate. So let me read that one again. Let us consider how we may agitate one another. All right? And agitate means to prod, to poke, to irritate, to annoy. All right. So we're saying, I give you permission. Okay, I'm going to read that one again. Let us consider how we may spur one another onto love and good deeds or good works. So he's saying, I'm giving you a permission to annoy, to poke, to prod one another. Man, I love it. I love that, don't you? Right? Okay, but I'm going to say but. Because in church, in a gathering, in a community like this, first, and you better write this down because I'll come spank you later. First, you consider one another. You're intentionally, strategically thinking how you can bless, pray, and be in their life. And you have to build a relationship before you spur, annoy, poke, irritate. You have to have a relationship, okay? You have to have a relationship, all right? Like somebody's, you need somebody in your life that can tell you not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. That's a spurrer. A spurrer tells you something, not what you want to hear. But don't forget, what do they have first with you? Relationship, okay? They will tell you not what you want to hear. Like they'll come up to you and say, hey, man, I really don't like the way you're treating your wife. You are angry and grumpy, and you just need a chill, buddy. Okay? That's a little spur, isn't it? Or, hey, you just chewed your kid out in front of everybody, embarrassed them. That's not how you do it. Okay? That's a little spur, isn't it? Right? I've had people do both of those things to me. Okay. So, again, I'm going to say this. This is only done when you have a relationship with somebody. I have a relationship with Stacy. She can do this with me. I can do that with her. I have a relationship. Okay? No relationship, no spurring, no poking, no annoying, no irritating. Keep your mouth zipped. All right. And listen, you may see something, but it really flies a lot better when you have a relationship. Okay. So question, here we go. Who's in your life? Who in your life do you know well enough to consider you? Who's in your circle? One another's. Who's in your one another's that knows you well enough to consider you? All right. All right. Who can spur you? Who's in your life that can spur you towards love and good works? I've got a couple of those. Who's in your life that you've given permission because you have a relationship? Who's in your life that you've given permission to do that for you? Okay? Again, family doesn't count. We just get in your grill all the time, don't we? Family, all right? And I do it all the time because I'm pastor. I get in your grill and tell you, Michelle, wear the glasses. Are you kidding me? Okay, so those don't count. But you should have two people on that list, All right? Amen. Pastor D, this is uplifting and edifying. Okay. By the way, just because Shirley, I'll pick on Shirley because she'd never do this. She's so sweet. They make sugar packets out of her. Okay. Just because Shirley and I have gone out to lunch twice means that we have a relationship that she can spur me. If you're thinking that, I'm going to spank you. Okay. How many cinder blocks does it take to build a foundation? A bunch. Okay? Takes a bunch of fellowshipping, relationshiping, where you can do this. And you know, I always talk about my friend Bev. We've been friends since I smashed her kid's finger in the wall and went to the ER with him, all right? 40 years, okay? And I have given her permission. She tells me things that I don't want to hear some days. Man. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, moving along. There's this older couple, they're not here today, so stop looking around, that I've known for 30 plus years, and I remember this. This is when I was just starting here, up in this position here, and they said, "Oh, Dee, can I talk to you for a few minutes?" Sitting there thinking, put your seatbelts on. And they said this, "I just want you to know there's a couple of things you've said recently as a leader that have the potential to push people away instead of draw them to Jesus. We love you. Have a good day." Okay. Guys, I've known them for 30 plus years. And you know what? I got spurred. I actually got a little irritated too. For just a few minutes, and the Holy Spirit said, "Come on, Dee." And I'm like, "You're right. I got to watch what I've been saying. There's something that I was saying repeatedly." It really was, "Rip your hair out of your head and smash your face against the wall." I said, "That really is just not, you know, potentially good for a leader to be saying that." Now, it's really something different than that, but I do say that a lot, okay? Do you know what I said? "God, thank you that there is somebody's that I have, that have spurred me on to love and good deeds, that I have built a relationship. I am so thankful for those people in my life that I have relationship with." And they can do that. Praise the Lord. So, question, who's in your life? Okay, who's in your life? Who has access to you? Okay, who's able to say, "Hey, how you doing?" No, 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 no. "How you really doing?" You know? Don't give me that. "Glory be, hallelujah, just a little." Okay, someone that gets in your life and says, "How you really doing?" How about this one? "How you doing in your marriage?" Somebody that you have given access to ask you that. And this one, by far first. "Hey, man of God," famous quotes, "how's your relationship with the Lord?" Okay? How's your relationship with the Lord? All right? So, when we gather, we are to consider one another. We are to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Now, the rest of that scripture, verse 25, goes on to say this. Okay, let me read it. "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another." Write down encouraging. Oh, man, encouraging. Praise the Lord. I love those people, right? So we've got two elements on how you consider one another. Spurring and encouraging. Spurring and encouraging, right? That's how we consider loving one another and one anothering, whether we're going to spur them or encourage them. Now, I don't even know if they make seesaws anymore. Do they have seesaws anymore? You know, this new generation, what do they got doing? They got climbing walls. Okay, back in my day, if you got on a seesaw, it's no fun with somebody's big butt on the bottom and you're stuck at the top, right? It's more fun when you go up and down, and it's super cool when you do. You got the balance, right? Okay. Considering intentionally strategic to think of one another, you have to have a balance of spurring and encouraging. Okay? And listen, there are some church, they got down the encouraging part, okay? They got down. No matter what happens, no matter how much you messed up, no matter how much you hurt, it's okay. Love covers. Okay? And they never do the correction, encouraging, spurring side, right? They never do that. Then we've got churches, man. They are in your chili, baby. And they will tell you when you mess up. They will tell you you need to fix up. Okay, and they don't do the encouraging. Okay? How many of you know that's not really a lot of fun, right? To have spurring going on here. I like the encouraging. But listen, to have a healthy gathering, a healthy group, a healthy one anothering, you have to have spurring and encouraging. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, the thing about this, this doesn't just happen. No, you have to be intentional. And this spurring, correcting thing, oh man, I will dance all around it. And I'm working on it, okay? So you have to be intentional in your spurring and encouraging. You have to be intentional, all right? You have to be intentional. And you have to step out of your comfort zone, okay? And spur only when you have a relationship. And, you know, you can encourage all the time. I go to this chiropractor, and they must have had a course, because every time you walk in, oh, lovely glasses, oh, nice shoes, oh, look at your earrings. I mean, they just go say all these nice things over and over and over. They got that encouragement. Man, I walk out of there, I am $1 million, okay? They got that. But I will tell you, I have had to learn encouraging, probably because of the home I came out of. I get around these people that it's just, whoa. I was like, whoa, how'd you do that? Your mom's like that. She just, yeah, roll your eyeballs. I was like, oh, I like hanging with her. Man, I just learned how to do this. Okay, so spur I got down. I'm from North Jersey, right? But there's a balance. Praise the Lord. Moving along. Okay, gathering. Everybody say gathering. The primary reason for gathering is not so you can check off. I heard a message. Check off. I dumped my kids downstairs. They're getting trained. They're going to know Jesus. Check. I'm happy. God's happy with me. Check. Oh, we had worship. The primary reason is not to do those rituals. Check, check, check. The primary reason that we gather is for one anothering one another. Amen? One another, one another. Okay? And listen, crazy things happen. Good crazy. Wonderful. Okay, new word. Fantastic, amazing, wonderful things happen when we one anothering. Okay? You get encouraged. Okay? You get built up. Yep. You get strengthened, right? And you get your tush in the right road because someone corrected you and spurred you, right? Praise the Lord. All right. And you know, the other amazing thing that happens is that God all of a sudden flips it. God all of a sudden turns why we used to gather to going outward. It is no longer us, feed me. Me. I come and I sit, you know, and I'm just me and my world, me and us four and no more. When we start gathering and we are really intentional, strategic to think about others, one another, all of a sudden it's just like this out goes. It goes out. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Okay? And that is a healthy gathering. So when we are a healthy gathering place, all right, we're attractive. We're attractive. If somebody comes in, and this never said this about why, but I can, oh, I visited that church. No one said hello to me. Oh my gosh, that would break my heart. Okay. That's not attractive. I don't care if they had bells and whistles and smoke machines going on. That is not attractive, right? All right. So when we are a healthy church where we considering one another and we spur one another and encourage one another, it starts drawing people to God. Because we are acting out Him, right? It draws people to God. Okay, question. Why do we gather? Why are you here? Okay. Amen. Praise God. So, God wants us to be relational. Got to have relational, okay? And I don't want to ever see somebody come in here and sit alone. Ooh. I don't want to ever hear that someone came and they're going through all sorts of things in life alone. Alone. Okay. Alone. Stop. Be quiet, Jody. Okay. I desire to see this as a place where we put our arm around somebody and we say, hey, I'm with you. I got this. We'll go through this together. That's gathering in its best, okay? And lots of you, you've already done this. Man, my favorite story is that when Joe and Erica were here, their grow group, Ellen and Jared had some big problems in their yard and their plumbing that goes in, and they had to get a backhoe to dig this out to hook up because things were broke. And of course, I don't know what that thing is, okay? And it was going to cost an extra couple grand if they rented the backhoe. They didn't have it. And the guys in their group, one anothering, in the winter came out with shovels and shoveled the trench from the street to the house. They got one anothering. Yep. So, okay, I'm not going to cry. Praise the Lord. I don't know where I am. Praise the Lord. Let me think. I've got to wrap up here. So, God wants us to be relational. He wants us to consider, be intentional, be strategic to one another. He wants us to encourage and occasionally spur one another. He wants us to do life together, one another. All right? We have people in this body that are intentional and strategic, and they do it not because they get paid. They stand in our foyer and they greet you when they come in. They stand over here in the Coffee Connect. They are with your kids down in the nursery right now, and they do it because they love one another. Actually, they love you. That's why people serve up here, because they love you. My worship team, are you kidding me? They practice. And they do that because they love you. They love you, all right? Guys, I want to do this better. I'm not satisfied. So when I think about Hebrews 10 and why God had this written in here, I think he knew if we were left to ourselves, we wouldn't gather. We wouldn't one another. So he wrote this to remind us that it matters to God, and it's so important to you and one another. So if you've been coming here to YCF and you're like, you know, Pastor D, I just don't get this gathering one another. I'm going to say this in the sweetest way. You need to go find a church where you fit. And I want you to fit so you can grow and flourish. Lock the door, Antonio. Don't let anybody out. But most of you have been coming here for a while, right? You've been coming here for a while. You get it. You've got relationships, okay? But can you just step it up a little bit more? Just step it up a little bit more. And intentionally, strategically, look around here and think of somebody and how you do one another. And I don't know what it is God's dealing with your heart, but if you need some suggestions, I will certainly tell you, okay? And maybe it's God's wants you to volunteer, all right? And volunteer in the nursery. I told Amber that I would tell everybody this. Amber is one of our directors of ministry. She directs the nursery. And this last month, there were people that called off at the last minute or no shows or forgot they had to work someplace else. And she's been in that nursery for 4 weeks. Okay? And she loves babies, but she don't love them that much. Okay? And I said, I'll make an announcement. What's the commitment for the nursery? Once a month, all right? So I told her I'd say that, and I said, we'll fill the schedule. We got people that love babies, and you're down there for less than an hour, 45 minutes, especially if I wrap up now. Okay, so here we go. I'm not asking you to one another 24/7. I don't do 24/7 with you, one another. I take a day off from you all, okay? God's not asking you to one another and intentionally think and be strategic about helping one another and praying for one another and having friends with one another. Not 24/7. But could you just can you get it up one more notch, all right? And you ask the Lord what he wants you to do, and we're going to do a little bit more. Because I think as we gather, and we gather because we want to consider one another. God's going to do great things in this place that he has been waiting to do. And we've only seen glimmers of this, y'all, just a little bit. But he wants to do so much more. He's just going to blow you away what he does in this place and what he does in you and what he does in other people. So it's time. Amen. It's time. So bow your head, close your eyes. Nobody running. Okay. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to gather. Hallelujah. Today, in this place, we love you. I thank you. We just honor you that we get to gather in your church, to be a part of your church. And God, you planned for us to be together. You planned for us to grow, to know you and to love you. And you also planned and predicted and planned that we would love one another. And I thank you, Father. And I just ask that you would do a greater work here at YCF. I thank you that you would help us be strategic and intentional on how we think about one another, about how we encourage one another. Help us be spurs as after we have relationships. And Father, I pray that everyone here would just open their life for somebody to be your voice into them. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hey, my favorite part of the service, still in an attitude of prayer here. Everybody keep your eyes, no moving around unless the fire truck goes off. But you might be here and you say, hey, God, Pastor D, my life, I know my life is not right with God. And I know, you know, if I could fix it, if I knew how, I would do it. But God, but Pastor D, I don't know how to. And I want to have life with God. I want to have my life right with him. So what do I do? Well, can I just encourage you? It's easy. It's a simple prayer. And when you pray this prayer, what you do is you open your heart, you open your mouth, and you say, God, I today will give you permission to move into my life, and I will have this relationship with you so I can have relationship with others. So if there's anybody here and you're that one that would say, hey, you know, my life isn't right and I want to get my life right, can you pray this with me? And everybody's going to pray it with you. Okay? Now, you pray this so you can hear. Okay? You can hear. You don't have to pray so I can hear, or the person next, just pray it. And the rest of you guys, this is just a good refresher of who God is and what he's done in your life. All right? So this is good for you too. Ready? Let's do this. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Amen. I believe that you sent him to this earth, that he died and he rose again, to bridge the gap between you and me. Do you see that, guys? Jesus came to bridge a gap between God and you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And God, I can't do it on my own. I need you, Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. Restore me. I choose to follow you, Jesus, the rest of my life. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you prayed that because you just have been out to town, come up and tell me. I have a little book here that I give you, just things to keep you going on your journey. So everybody stand up. The gathering. Hallelujah. Hey, we are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. We are blessed going in this place, and you are blessed going out. Everything you set your hand to, you are destined to prosper in. Go have a wonderful weekend. I love you. Praise the Lord. And if you need prayer, come on up. I'll have an elder.